Sisyphean and Dragons and Ashes and Ferret about how they write fix, which I don't know about you guys. I hope you were as fascinated by the differences in their processes as I was. Ferret and I wanted to take a little bit of time to self-indulgently talk about starting and participating in a fandom collab that has nothing to do with writing, at least not at the beginning, and to talk a little bit about what it was like learning each other to work on this podcast. Because unlike Ashes and Ferret and Tisfin and Dragons, Ferret and I were not friends before this started.
You say that like we were enemies instead. This is like a classic enemies to friends to podcast recorders situation.
This is why we have a ship name now. We just didn't know each other is the better way. But like, it isn't like this grew out of this long collaboration that we've been shooting the shit with each other for years. Like our first conversation that we had with each other was about the same day we started recording things for the podcast. So it's just a very different dynamic. And we wanted to share that a little bit more with you guys and explore that a little bit, because part of the point of this episode is hopefully to give you guys some points of entry into what, if any, kind of collab might be good for you moving forward. You know, finding permanent collaboration partners like Ashes and Ferret and Tisfin and Dragons have is a challenge for sure. And is a little bit like a unicorn, I think. That's not always going to happen. But there's a lot of us that collaborate with a lot of different people. I know I've had the privilege of collaborating on FIC with a number of people. I collaborate the most often with Marie Ships et al. But I've also collaborated with Ferret and with Athlete Tiger. And I'm doing one soon with Ashes. But all of that is completely different than this project that Ferret and I have embarked on. And it's also different than modding an event together, I'll be honest, since we're now doing that together too. It's different than being on a team. Like, this is a whole different ballgame. So, So in terms of, since this was actually technically at the beginning of all this, my idea, for anyone who maybe forgets the first episode of the podcast, which I definitely do, because it was 75 years ago in the year of March that we recorded that, but this all started very kind of innocently on the POT server. And we were, as a server, talking about podcasts because Fanish had just done an episode that talked about Saber. And we were having a conversation about, wouldn't it be great to have a specifically kind of Stony-focused podcast? And my thought, as I was sitting there in my own little self, was, well, yes, but also I'd love to have an actual full fandom focused podcast in the way that with Fanish's structure, they were never kind of able to be. And I'd really love to have a space that we could talk to as many other people in fandom as possible. And also to explore some of the more metaphysical and meta narrative aspects of fandom and kind of all this stuff. And I'd been thinking about what it would be like to do a podcast for years. And the more I listened to Fanish personally, the more I was like, man, I'd really love to do that. But tech scares the living bejesus out of me. I'm pretty good with HTML code. I probably could have figured out how to build a website, but I didn't know audio editing. I didn't know anything else. And all of that was so overwhelming to me that it was a barrier to entry. And so having a podcast was just a bit of a dream and something that, oh, sounded kind of fun. And then, so what I said in the chat that day was something that I had honestly said several times before in other servers when podcasts were brought up. And I said, listen, I'll do it if I can find somebody to do the tech for me. If somebody will do the audio for me, I'll do, like, I would love to do a podcast. Because the talking is not the challenging part for me, as none of you are.
No way.
The organization isn't the struggle. The coming up with topics isn't the struggle. For me, the struggle was all of the behind the scenes tech stuff. And in a very good lesson to me that I am constantly learning, in that none of us are meant to do things alone, truly, because we all complement each other really, really well. I discovered that Ferret was game. Essentially, this all started with that she just added me in the server and said, hey, I'd be happy to help. And I DM'd her very trepidatiously, I will admit, because we had never talked and she was Ferret, this person that like I read her stories and like, oh my gosh, Ferret's talking to me. and said, like, hey, if you're serious, I'm serious. And she said, yeah. And then that was it. That was kind of, that started that. And the process of kind of learning each other and deciding what we wanted. And we were shockingly on the same page very quickly was all great. But like, I guess in a certain way, like, Ferret, what made you volunteer?
Yeah. I have distinct memories of how this conversation went because I was at work and there are many aspects to my work, but one of the things that I do is walk in parks and trails for my job. I spend a lot of time on Discord while I'm walking because you get sick of yourself after a while. And I remember where I was, which park I was at, and I was watching the conversation go. And it had come up in the POTS server several times over the last couple of years that Saber especially had requested a Stony podcast several times. And no one ever really wanted to do it. And I liked the idea, but I'm not a huge podcast listener. So it had never occurred to me that it'd be something I would do. But I am a projector and I very much like doing things and doing projects and getting stuff done. And I like being tasked with challenges and finding ways to solve them. So yeah, when you were like, I will actually do this, my offer to do the tech in the first place was, you know, if you can get this off the ground, because I will say people bring up projects all the time. They very rarely actually get off the ground.
Yep.
So I knew I didn't want to carry the whole thing myself. I'd never done sound editing before, but I felt very confident I could figure it out.
Something I didn't know.
Yeah. I was just like, I know the basics of it. And I used to record music with my dad and his band. So like, I have a concept. I used to use Audacity. Like I have an idea of how it would work. I'm sure I can figure it out. And I love the concepts of, like, I love web development and web design and I love hosting. And I saw like opportunities to be useful. And like, I just love being useful. So I volunteered to do the tech. And then I said that. And then as I was walking along in the park, I was kind of like thinking about what might get talked about. And I was like, actually, like, I have a lot of ideas of how I would want this to go. And I'm a lover of information and I'm academically inclined and I love debating with people and I love opinions and exploring that. And so I had all these ideas. And so when you DM'd me and were like, hey, do you really want to do the tech? I said, yeah, I can totally do the tech. If you're looking for someone to like co-host it with you, I would do that. And it was just kind of like, I think it was driven by a desire to help generate the content more than it was like, I want my voice to be heard by everybody because I don't even go in voice chat. Like that was a totally new step for me. So yeah, I had a desire to participate in the content creation because I had ideas and that was what made me say, I'll do this with you. And then it became clear very quickly, like before we'd even ever talked on the phone, if you will, it became clear very quickly that not only were our values aligned such that we were going to be able to make the compromises that were necessary to do a project like this, but also that we have a natural ease of communication and also we are both sort of secure enough in ourselves that we can be honest with each other and discuss and debate things from a place where we both know that we're each going to hold our own. And it sort of lets us feel out a whole topic, being truly honest about how we feel about stuff, and then determining how we would want to present that as content on the pod.
Yeah.
Do you think that's accurate?
I do. Yeah. I was sitting here thinking like, cause you remember where you were. I do too. I was in my living room on my couch where I'm sitting like actually right now. and it like, when you said I would be the host too, I vividly remember turning to Mr. Flame and be like, I think I'm podcasting possibly with the person that's the reason I'm in fan.
Oh my god. Like, you keep, like your life. You kept that all that like very your... on the DL when we first started talking.
Yeah, listen, I was you real so cool about it. Yeah. I was so cool about it. But he was just like, yeah, that's your life. Like, sure. Like, that makes sense. And I think there's some other elements too. Like, we both have spouses that are really cool with us taking up giant amounts of time to do this kind of thing. And which is not a luxury that some other people have. And there's, and like you said about the values, like I remember talking and realizing that we both had the work ethic too, to kind of say, to make commitments and get things done.
Like, yeah. I think that like one of the fundamental, I was actually, my husband is wanting to start a podcast too. And he's been wanting to do it for a really long time. And he's always wanted to he makes YouTube videos for his job. Like he's the on-screen talent sometimes for his, he's a like representative of his company. But he's like for years and years and years, like almost as long as YouTube has been around and podcasts have been a thing, he's been wanting to like produce content. And so he's had friends like come and go where he's been like, hey, maybe you could be someone that would do this with me. And he's got another friend who's interested. And my big piece of advice for him when he was like deciding how to get it off the ground was only give the power to prevent an episode from coming out to the fewest number of people possible and the people that you trust the most to have an equal desire to make it happen.
Correct.
Because if you let someone else who may be too busy or may get distracted or may not be as interested in making it happen as you are, if you let them be a roadblock to production because something that they do is critical, then it will be such a hurt when they become that roadblock for you that not only can it ruin relationships, but it can ruin your capacity to produce the content.
Yeah. And like when you said the compromises that were willing to be made, I mean, like, I don't want people to think that like we had ethical compromises or anything, but it was more like we really quickly decided the things neither one of us cares about.
Yeah, I mean, it was also like compromises in that how we respect each other's opinions on things and how to like some of the stuff we present is a cohesive opinion we have formed out of both of our opinions.
Yeah.
Sometimes we each present our separate opinions on stuff because we don't agree on everything. I think anyone who's listening to this has figured out that we do not agree on everything.
Yeah, but I'll say like the stuff that we agree that we disagree on kind of the most intensely has not made its way into the pod yet, because one of the things that we are, one of the values that we decided is that the conversations would always be productive.
Yeah.
In a certain way. And like, there's a couple issues and no, we're not going to tell you, any of you, the things that we really, really disagree on, but we can't figure out a way to where it would be an actually productive conversation. And if like, so why would you guys are already gracious with your time and giving us your time. Why would we take up your time going in a circle when we could just do that on Discord? One of the things I have learned about projects in my life is that a very key part for me personally is to decide upfront what I trust the other person with more than I care about my opinion. And so like I have absolutely no real, like I didn't really design any of the website. Like you and co did all, I think I've voted on a couple fonts because you're better at it than I am. And I don't really care. Not that I don't care at all because I don't have quality, but like, I don't care about pixels or fuddy-duddiness. I care that it looks amazing and that it works. And I 100% knew that both of those things would be true if it was in your hands. So I stepped out to a certain extent, provided support when I could, but I wasn't going to micromanage or put my opinion in everything when you were the one that could drive that significantly better than I could. And there's some other things like that. Like, you know, you can learn Audacity a lot faster than I could. Why am I bothering to duplicate that kind of work? Like, we did this kind of stuff pretty quickly. Like, this is the stuff that I'm good at. This is the stuff that you're good at. And this is kind of where we go. And so some of that, for people who need to be in control of every single aspect of everything they produce, collaborations are incredibly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this kind of collaboration would be paralyzing. Like, it might be a little bit easier to produce a fic with somebody because there's still quite a lot of control you can have. A project this big and this unwieldy, like, I have to just decide a lot to not really be bothered about something.
Yeah.
Because if I tried to do everything, my gosh, I would lose my mind.
I think another thing on that front that works so well, just pure luck for us two, is that the way that we are competent puzzle pieces very well together.
Seriously, it's weird.
It is weird, like, how well that fits together. So we can have that trust in each other that things are going to be done well because we each are good at different things. And it just happens to cover enough of an umbrella that we can make things happen. So I think that, like, sometimes perhaps we have an inclination to want to work and develop projects with people who feel like they have the same skills as us, because then you can communicate on the same level. Maybe you have the same, like, method of communication as well. I think we try to seek out people who we have an ease of communication with, and sometimes people who therefore think the same way we do are good at the same things that we are. And then you end up with an unbalanced set of skills. Like, we talked about balancing your skills in mod teams for events.
Yeah.
And, like, I got to say that we're lucky in that we understand each other very easily. And I think that let us build this so fast, because we were able to say, to be blunt and be honest and be straightforward. We don't sugarcoat things with each other. We just say the truth. And, like, I know Flame's not going to hate me if I'm like, that doesn't look good, or if she said that to me, or if I was just like, I disagree with that. Then we'll just be like, okay, we're either going to debate it until we can come to a middle ground, or we're not going to bring that topic onto the pod or something like that. And having that comfort of knowing it's not going to ruin our relationship to say, I disagree with you, or I don't like that. It didn't just allow us to get through this quickly, but it also helped us figure out how well we puzzle piece together, because we were able to say, like, I'm good at this, I'm going to do that. You're good at this, you're going to do that. We're both getting stuff done at the same time. And then when we come together, we're going to have two good completed things.
Yeah. And it has evolved too. Like, I think that's what's been really fun for me in this process, is that I've, like, as we have built this, we have also built our friendship, which has been really, really fascinating to me. My best friend, soulmate, and I built our friendship while we were each building our, like, massive academic works, you know? So I'm also kind of used to this, where, like, you're doing it. And so that helped me quickly be, like, recognize in a certain way a kindred spirit, I think. Like, oh, she gets what a big deal this is. Like, we take the pod very, very seriously. We don't take ourselves very seriously at all.
That's a good way to put it.
In as much as this is a professional product that we are trying to put out, we take that very seriously. And, like, there is a balance between this is something you're like, this is a professional product, and, like, for fuck's sake, this is fandom, that I think sometimes is hard to balance, because you can very easily in some big fandom things swing to the other side where you act as though it is life or death. Mm-hmm. And this thing might, like, has to happen. And it's very easy to get caught up in fandom drama, and very, very easy. And I say this as somebody who has, you know, rearranged your entire life around claims for a bang and things like that. And some of that can be really fun, but then you also have to, like, we both understand, like, we both have offline responsibilities. I don't ever say real life, because my real life includes hosting a podcast, but, like, we both have offline responsibilities. Both of us are, you know, we have significant amounts of responsibility and control in our businesses that we need to be familiar with. And if I message you and I'm just like, hey, today was a dumpster fire, your response is not going to be, well, we have to record the pod anyway.
Yeah, like, there've been days we planned to record that we didn't because one of us had a rough day or things just ran long. And at the end of the day, as much as it's important to both of us that we keep a schedule and that we do what we plan to do when we get stuff out, we both acknowledge that if one of us said, I cannot make this episode happen, that we would take the break, or we would book it for another day, or we would tell people, hey, it's going to be delayed by 2 days. And that's not a bookend. It's just a you know, then we would come back and the next time we'd make another episode. I think that confidence in each other's
In
respect
that
for each other as well.
Yeah. And so I think if you are someone, and this could, because like I said, to me, this is an offline thing as well. So if you're going into an offline collaboration or you're starting a project with somebody offline, and perhaps you're in a similar boat as Farah and I, where you didn't really know the person, or you've got to start in this thing and you have maybe some strangers volunteering, or, you know, you're a college student and you're going to have to figure out how to do projects on Zoom, which good luck. All students and teachers just have my biggest blessing right now in these times.
Oh, yeah.
We hope that we are a good escape for you. One of my biggest tips would be to figure out for yourself really, really quickly what your non-negotiables are and what you think you're really good at and what you know you're really crap at. Yeah. Because here's the deal. We are all good at things and we are all shit at things.
Yeah.
And that is life. And I'm of the persuasion that you get to a certain age, and for me, that age was like my mid-20s, where you stop really trying to work on the things you're shit at and really focus on the things you're good at. And just find people that are good at the things you're shit at and build teams.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, like, there have been things where I came to you early on in the thing and said, this is something I won't do. I'm bad at this and I won't get better at it. So if neither of us can fill that void, we either have to find someone else, we have to find a way not to do that thing, or, you know, this maybe can't happen. I think being willing to decide something isn't going to work is a factor too. Like, there were definitely points of time when we were starting to get this off the ground where we could have run into deal breakers.
Oh, for sure. And there's things that we had really great ideas about, and we're like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And they didn't work. And instead of having conniptions about it, we just went, oh, okay, that's something we tried once, and we moved on.
Yeah.
And there's lots of things, like, we have this great idea for an Instagram account, and I was actually just talking today about probably deleting it because it's not really doing anything and I keep forgetting to update it. So, like, okay, this isn't working. Let's get rid of it and move on.
I think there's also something, like, an important thing to discuss with someone that you're building a project, say, like this with, is, you know, we had several long in-depth conversations about what are your goals with this.
Yes, that was actually like the biggest chunk of our first phone call.
Yeah, we spent like hours. We were on the phone for hours.
Hours.
And the vast majority of the conversation was, what are your goals? And we, without influence from the other, we both just expressed what goals we were coming into the project with. And then we explored the goals that we could build together. And we were lucky in that there was a lot of like crossover and agreement, but I don't think that that's necessary. I think what's necessary is the conversation, because from that you can build the compromises and the structure that satisfies both of you, or you can understand how you're going to work towards disparate goals in different ways. Yeah, that was sort of critical for us to build this.
And I think it's also, yeah, and I think it's critical for any project, but I think there was also a really, like, really special affirmation in that. Like, oh, I'm not the only one that thinks this would be a good idea. Like, this
yeah,
is...
Yeah,
this
it was motivating.
It was super motivating. Like, I remember, because that whole first day, so the very first day that I talked to Farah, everybody, is also the day I interviewed Saber. So my whole day was this podcast, which was a great for me. And I came downstairs to Mr. Flame buzzing. Like, buzzing. I was so excited. I was like, this thing is going to be special. And from what we've heard from you guys, like, a lot of you seem to think it is too, but for us, it certainly is. And this is something that we're very committed to and we really love. But that idea, like, you know, C.S. Lewis says that friendship is born in the minute that you look at a stranger and go, oh my gosh, you too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of fandom is for a lot of us, is looking at a stranger and going, oh my God, you too? You are also obsessed with super soldiers fucking? Amazing. Let's become best friends forever. But some of these more metaphysical things, like, we both wanted this to be really educational. We wanted this to be also a space for a lot of voices. Because doing this together, like, one of my deal breakers, to be honest, was if you weren't okay with interviews with people, like, I would have said we were not going to work well together.
And that's one of those cases where we had the conversation, you said, I'm great at interviews. I'm used to doing interviews. I want to do interviews. And my response is, fucking fantastic. I'm totally down for having interviews in the pod. I am not going to interview people.
Yeah. And we went, cool. Like,
great. Done. So if Flame can't make an interview happen, the interview is not going to happen. We don't have interviews every episode, and not every topic has somebody that we want to interview, but that's something that Flame handles. So while I was building the website and she was not having to worry about that, she was scheduling people and sending out emails and getting in touch with people and building up a catalog of interviews for us. So yeah, that's one of those like perfect puzzle piece moments.
Yeah. And so like that was, but it was also would have been like, for me just personally, it would have been really painful to say no at that point, because I was already really into this idea. I was already really excited to get to know you and work with you. But I knew that this was a piece of the vision I wasn't willing to compromise on.
Yeah.
And that is a huge part of also knowing yourself.
Yeah.
And knowing who you are. And I think that's really important. My other tip, like you already brought it up, but it would be to be as absolutely blunt level honest as you can be with the other people in the group.
Mm-hmm.
I am a firm believer that projects like this don't get accomplished when people play games.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you just have to be really honest, because there's absolutely been times that, I mean, personal stuff for sure, like work exploded, we had bad days, I'm a fairly sickly person. There's a couple times where I couldn't record because I couldn't keep my eyes open. I have a very early bedtime.
Mm-hmm. I have a very late bedtime, and we always talk in the evenings.
Talk in the evenings. And so like Flame's loopiness is a limit that we have to deal with. But there's also just been some times where like we were talking about like covering a specific topic and one person just went absolutely fucking not. And the other person went, oh, okay, no problem. But like, we didn't do the political, like, well, if it really matters to you, like we kind of do that for some things. Like there was a decision recently on the stockings and Ferret was like, I really hate this. I was like, I don't, but I'm not going to die on this hill. And she was like, no, you're right. I was like, okay.
Sometimes. And I mean, there's, especially with events, but also just with the way that we're presenting this information, there's a difference between your personal beliefs and the information you think is important for other people to have for them to form their own beliefs.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe we didn't bring that up already. Yes.
So we both love academia, we both love educating, and we both love educators. And it's important to us. It's like, obviously what we say on this pod is not unbiased. We're never going to claim that. But we hope that part of what we give is information and structure and context for people to form their own opinions. And we always want to go on the server after and have debates with people.
Yeah. And that's been the thing too. Like there's been a couple topics that people have been brought up to us in the science and like, will you cover this? And just very honestly, I've been like, I don't think I have a good voice in that space, but I would love to interview somebody who would have that opinion.
Yeah.
And
or we know we feel so strongly about something that we don't think it's appropriate for us to just rant about something for half an hour on the pod.
Yeah, there's a reason that my soapbox has only happened once and about something relatively silly. Because when the two of us get going, we get going.
And speaking of getting going, I feel like maybe we should share that for every half hour that we record on the pod, there were 3 hours before that we were just talking.
Just in case you're wondering, currently as we speak, it is 10:14 post meridian time.
Yes,
Eastern Standard.
We began talking at 8:30.
Yeah,
this is the first segment that we've been recording. So whatever we're up to now, that's how much of that time we spent recording. And it's not just that we're friends, because we would talk anyway, even if the podcast died. But the discussions that we have. We have the in-depth conversations and we have the debates and we bring up topics and we explore them and we dive into them and we say, how does this make you feel? Like, why do you think people do this? And that is all fuel for what we're then going to say on mic.
Absolutely. And there's times where it's like, well, you know, I asked this question in a server and I got these responses. Do you think that would be a really interesting topic, or do we need more data first? Do we need to do some more research? Do we need to ask some more questions? And all of that takes time. And I'll be honest too, like we love talking, obviously, hello. And we like talking to each other. But when we first started this, I'm sure you guys can hear that we're much more comfortable in speaking and we use less pauses maybe, and we stumble a little bit less, even though Ferret's editing has always been exemplary. So you may not notice that.
We certainly have noticed that though.
We have noticed, but there is a different rhythm to speaking when you're being recorded than to speaking when you are not. And we have to warm up sometimes. And if one of us has had a bad day, but we still end up recording, very often we need to be mad with each other first before we bring it to you guys, because you didn't do anything to deserve our angry tone.
Yeah. We leave the salt on the cutting room floor.
We leave a lot on the cutting room floor, and no, we are not releasing them. I'm anticipating those questions right now. And we love
record that.
We love bringing you guys things like the bonus episodes and Drunk Flare It and things like that. But those are also a lot of work. And they're a lot of time. And that Drunk Flare It episode, we recorded probably an hour and a half. And then it took Ferret days to get it down.
It was the hardest thing, because it just shows that it takes thought to record this. We're not just talking. We've called it before performative conversation. And that's what we're doing. And some of this is scripted and some of it's not. You guys may be able to tell what is and what isn't. But even if you can't, that's how we approach it. And the fact that we were both drunk removed all of the performative part of our performative conversation.
Oh my gosh.
And it just showed how much effort we are always putting in when we are recording this that we did not put in when we were recording it drunk. Because it took, I think about four times as long for me to edit it than for something even unscripted that we have planned and discussed and laid out. And we're both working towards the same goal when we have these conversations.
Yeah, we were each wrangling our own internal jello.
You were wrangling me.
I was. I did a lot of heavy lifting in that episode.
You did. So. I mean, we all knew that was going to happen. I'm a lightweight. Yeah.
We have, one of my strengths is my overperforming liver. So yes. It does really help. So basically when we talk about collabs, because we talked about this with some other people, like what kind of things would you recommend? I mean, so I think we both recommend you find somebody that you're really honest with, that you are aware of your strengths and weaknesses, and that you are aware of the other person's strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And not like the false weaknesses, like my weaknesses that I care too much. Like, no. Like your actual legitimate like, shit at this. Yeah. Like we're not looking for Miss America weaknesses.
No. I don't want to say them on air, but I was really blunt about a few things where I was like, I'm just shit at this. I'm just going to tell you, this is something I'm not good at. And thankfully it was something you were good at. And I mean, our choice at that point was to potentially, and there were things neither of us wanted to do or neither of us felt good at that we sought help from other people to do.
Yes. Yes. And that's still the case. And there
are a lot of help to get this off the ground.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like we do a lot of work for sure, but we are not the only ones. And we don't want to speak for anybody else's experiences in working with us. Cause we certainly didn't clear if we could use any of their names. but you know, hopefully anybody, especially who spends time on the server, will see that, you know, Marie's running a catch-up club right now. That's doing a lot that we actually like should mention on the pod. That if you are, you know, if you feel you're listening to this out of schedule, or you feel you're behind, which we would say you're never behind because these are eternally available. But if you want to talk about episodes 3 or 4 right now, as we're recording episode 12, Marie is running that in the server, and there's some other things like that happening. And Co does a ton of work to get a lot of the graphics done and only recording the events forecast while Marie is in perpetual lockdown. All of these kind of things are happening, but there are also people that we talk to bounce ideas off of. And some of you guys don't even know you're helping us.
Yeah.
And so, sorry, thank you for your labor.
Yeah, I mean, even the server helps us. We float ideas out. You guys grab stuff. Your reactions to things help us know what we should do more of, what we should do less of. It's a group project.
Yeah, because this is your fandom podcast. We just happen to be the Muppets that are on air.
And so the last thing I would add to the list of things that you should do that you were discussing was the goals conversation. I think it bears repeating. That should be one of the first things you talk about with a potential collab partner for any project, whether it's you know, writing or art or a podcast or building a Discord server, an event, anything. Talk about your goals. They don't have to be the same, but if they are actively contradictory, it may not be a project that's going to get off the ground.
And then remember too, because like, let's just talk about fandom for a minute. It is fandom. If something isn't making you happy anymore or something isn't really working, you get to say no and you get to walk away.
Yeah. Go back to that episode we did on joy. Flame and I both find this podcast joyful. It doesn't mean it's not hard sometimes. It doesn't mean it's not frustrating sometimes. It doesn't mean it's not late night sometimes, or that there are weeks I don't want to do the editing, or that Flame doesn't want to stay up till 11 listening to me talk about stuff. But ultimately, it is a source of joy for us, and that's why we keep doing it. And if it stopped being a source of joy, we would no longer do it.
And that should apply to all things. I'm a big believer in seeing out your commitments, but if you are stuck in a collab relationship that is not working for you, you get to say no.
Mm-hmm.
You get to walk away and remember that you are worth that. You are worth your own joy. The product that you are producing is not worth more than your joy and not worth more than your personal time and your enjoyment of it. So like, I'll echo what Farid said, no matter how frustrated I've gotten in the last 24 weeks that we've been doing this, 26 weeks that we've been doing this, at literally no point in time have I wanted to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at no point in time have I wanted to walk away from Ferrets in my relationship or the podcast in particular. And so that's one of the reasons we keep going. Also, we'd be liars if we wouldn't say that we love it when you tell us that we're wonderful. Because we do. We share every single thing that you guys say that you love about this thing. And that is one of the reasons it brings us joy, because you guys are so generous with your commentary and your engagement. So this isn't just joy because I love sitting in my living room talking at a microphone for hours on end and hanging out with one of my friends. This is enjoyment because you guys tell us what makes you happy about it. I think
for both of us, one of the great joys in fandom is bringing joy to other people.
Yeah, like you said, I like to be useful.
Me too.
And so we're glad we're useful in this. We hope these last three conversations have been useful to you as you think maybe about team ups, or maybe you never have. And as we now kind of, we're gonna end this, you know, interview creator corner content, let's talk business, and we're gonna move into community talks next, where we get to hear from you, the people that bring us joy.